Well, lots of happening, and I guess some people are getting a little nervous regarding the debt ceiling negotiation or recess right now by the House GOP. Marty Cantor has been dealing with this for a long, long time. As we welcome in the Long Island economist extraordinaire, Mr. Marty Cantor, always great having him. Sir, how are you?
Pretty good, Jay. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Are you getting nervous? You got a June 1st deadline or so-called deadline bandied about. You got all kinds of stuff coming from Janet Yellen, Treasury Secretary. Steve Scalise says, you know what, if they want us back, we'll come back. But right now, you know, you hear Kevin McCarthy on a daily basis. Yeah, we're making progress, blah, blah, blah. But nothing cemented yet. What's your assessment here?
Well, I really do hope that they... you know, that they stop saber-rattling and come to a conclusion. Look, the reality is, you know, I'm at times I get tired of hearing, you know, the president say, just do a clean bill. It's always been done that way. But you know something? We're coming out of a, well, we're involved in an inflation, and there's a recession possibly on the horizon. Sometimes doing the way things have been always done is not the rated way to do it. Clearly, we're in this mess, this inflation and possibly a recession, because we've had too much government spending as in relation to gross domestic product. And we've got to start, and the pressure on government debt takes private capital, investment capital, out of the marketplace. So we really do have to get a control on our deficit, and we do have to get a control on debt. And this is where Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, is correct. You know, let's cut back on spending. Yes, is it going to be painful across the spectrum of everything in the United States? Yes, but everybody across the United States has gotten drunk over that free money that the federal government has been giving the last 2 years. So in order to get out of this this inflation and possible recession, unfortunately, there's going to be a little pain, not as bad as the Democrats would suggest. But we have to start cutting back. We have to have fiscal policy, which the president and the Congress control, come into a coordination with the monetary policy, which is what the Federal Reserve is doing. So I truly hope that they come to a conclusion. My instinct tells me they probably will. Not everybody's going to get what they want, but let's hope that they, you know, stay in their heads, prevail, and they come to a conclusion.
Marty, I subscribe to common sense, you know. Maybe it's me. Maybe you give me a little lesson, a little echo 101. You know, to me, you have more debt, runaway inflation, and interest rate hikes that are absolutely creating this mess on the economy. You know, voters understand the deal here. They know what's going on. There was a new poll that came out. I forgot who had it. I'll remember in a second. But it showed that 60% of Americans oppose raising the debt ceiling unless federal spending is reduced. And by the way, that included independents. 45% of the poll, by the way, Democrats. Okay? Only less than a quarter think Congress should lift the ceiling no matter what, as Biden and company have demanded, we know. But I mean, let's face it. Let's be honest here. Under Joe Biden, trillions of dollars in new outlays have been in place since this administration. I mean, you know, we got to call it as it is here. No?
Well, yeah. I mean, just to give you a little perspective, everybody says, well, the 2008 recession. In 2008, the gross domestic product was $14 trillion, and debt was $12 trillion. Today, the gross domestic product is $26 trillion and debt is $31.4 trillion. So we've gone topsy-turvy. In 2008, gross domestic product exceeded the debt by $2 trillion. Now our debt exceeds gross domestic product by about $6 trillion. You know, that's a big difference. And yes, a lot of it has happened under this president. You know, there's a question whether we needed that second stimulus, and we certainly didn't need the American Rescue Plan. The economy was bouncing back because, remember, everybody says, oh, we were in recession in 2020. Well, that recession was caused because the government shut down everything. It wasn't because the business cycle was collapsing. So when the government opened up the economy, everything came roaring back. We did not need a stimulus. And that's really what hurt us. The other thing was the Federal Reserve was putting about $125 billion a month into the economy where the interest rates were basically zero. So all of that really spurred this economy and overheated it, and it provided, you know, the textbook definition of inflation is too many dollars chasing too few goods. We had all this money. Production output did not increase. So the demand was there, but the product wasn't, and that forced the prices to go up. And that's why we have inflation. So, yeah, a lot of this has happened because of those two bills that were signed by President Biden that we should not have had. We could have waited and done this, when the economy was stabilized and we could really see it. So this mess really, the debt increase under President Trump, absolutely. You know, but remember when President Trump left office, inflation was 1.4% and the gross domestic product was 2% growth a year. And that's the way it should be. Under this president, inflation's 5%. And gross domestic product is now 1.1% and falling. So, the economics has not gone well over the last 3 years. And so that's why this debt crisis really has to be resolved. We can't add another piece of uncertainty to an unstable economy.
President called it transitory back in the day. Remember that whole thing? Called it transitory.
But that was Powell, the president parroted what Powell said. Powell was totally wrong. That was, I remember I was being interviewed, and I said, "There's nothing transitory about this. It's here to stay." The Federal Reserve blew it, and the chairman blew it. I'm not so sure it wasn't about politics, but he blew it. It was not transitory, and the whole strategy of a fiscal policy of federal spending and the Fed's policy was based on transitory, and so you had government fiscal and monetary policy actions based upon an erroneous evaluation of where the economy was going, and that's part of a big reason why we're here as well.
Question, and another fact, folks. You know, Biden did not want to negotiate with McCarthy. You know, I mean, this is going on about 14 weeks. They had asked to sit down, and they did not. So, listen, they knew this issue was coming. They knew it. And let me tell you something. And I always, this thing gets so political, it drives me crazy. But you have to cite the facts, Marty, that Democrats controlled the deal last year. They controlled Congress. They knew that this issue was a coming. And we're here with it. When they were in control of everything, they did nothing about it.
What the Democrats were subscribing to and the progressives was this concept called modern monetary theory. And what that was just issue money, increase spending, and we'll worry about inflation later. I mean, I'm capsulizing it, but it was really Keynesian borrow and spend economics on steroids. And remember, that's what the Senate Majority Leader said with that unemployment insurance on steroids. You know, the question was, did we need that unemployment insurance on steroids? Was it keeping people out of the workforce? You could argue and say, yes, it was. We paid $300 bonus on top of it. All this extra spending was there, and now the ultimate result of the modern monetary theory, which is high inflation and high spending, and now we've got to deal with it. And to deal with it, the remedy is painful. I mean, you've got to cut back spending. You've got to take this money out of the economy, and that's what the Federal Reserve is doing at $95 billion a month, removing the liquidity, and that's why business loans are more expensive. The mortgage rates are up. And this economy is really, could be teetering on a very slight recession, because the Federal Reserve definitely is going to wants to get down to their 2% target inflation rate, which is a heavy lift. given that we're 5% now, and it's going to be a long haul as we continue through 2023.
No question about it, Marty Cantor, with us, and you know, again, folks, look at the history here. I mean, the last major debt limit fight was 12 years ago, and the national debt is more than double, from $15 trillion to $31 trillion and change. And that's just 12 years. And this recent debt surge, by the way, has been bipartisan. We should be fair. You know, this $16 trillion, it is bipartisan. You know, Donald Trump signed a very large tax cut. Both parties expanded, you know, as far as discretionary spending and everything else. And then Biden enacted, you know, federal expansions in a couple of years, the $5 trillion. Inflation, the American Rescue Plan was the $1.9 trillion. Student loan bailouts, spending hikes, left and right here, I tell you. And this is all added to the mess. So,
and even the Inflation Reduction Act, which was really a misnomer. I mean, that was additional spending as well. Do we need infrastructure spending? Absolutely, because the America's infrastructure. And that was one of the few things that in that bill that were really, needed. You know, the American infrastructure, sewage, bridges, streets, that's been in disrepair for years. But all this spending at the worst possible time. The other thing is, you know, the president would say, well, he's had the biggest job growth in history. No, it's only because you opened up the economy after the government shut it down. That's why we haven't grown significantly since we opened up the economy. We're really back where we were. So, we have the economy, which is struggling. Our manufacturing output and productivity is down. Cost of manufacturing is up. Wages haven't kept up with inflation. I mean, this is not a formula for economic growth. You know, this is a formula for for where we are right now.
No doubt about it. Keep an eye on things, Marty. It's great having you here. And I know a lot of people are a little bit antsy right now. And the only thing I would say is, you know, this June 1st situation to me is, you know, we'll see. I don't think it's set in stone without question. I don't think it is. But I'll tell you one thing. The one thing I do know is that cuts have to be in play here. Cuts have to be in play. Now, whether that includes... You know, the Green New Deal and everything else, I doubt it. But I do know that cuts are going to have to be part of this equation to solve this, without question.
They're going to claw back about $30 billion of the unspent COVID money. I mean, I don't even understand how that becomes a discussion item. You know, Congress would, you know, issues money to deal with COVID, and COVID's over, and they have to discuss clawing it back. That money should be taken right back in a heartbeat. You know, should we have spending? The House, the Republicans have said 1% growth a year. I think that's unrealistic. If you're gonna accept inflation to 2% a year, then you can't have, you know, if you're only going to expand government spending 1%, that means you're really cutting back. But I think I do believe that we have places that we can cut back spending, and we really need to, because remember something, that every dollar of debt, as I said before, every dollar of debt that the government issues, it means that there's $1 of debt not produced by the private sector, because taxpayers have to fund that debt, and that takes those taxes that go to the federal government to fund debt could be used to spur capitalistic economic expansion at the local levels. And really, we are a capitalistic country, and we couldn't survive as a socialistic country because taxpayers still put the freight here. And we have to be protective of taxpayers and also non-inflationary economic expansion. And that usually happens with, supply and demand and a good capital system. Right now, with government spurring economic growth through debt, that's really a formula for disaster.
Morning, Cantor, ladies and gentlemen. Socioeconomic director of policy right here on Long Island. And I know he'll be keeping an eye on things as well. Great having you, sir. We'll talk soon.
Great to be here with you, Jay. You take care.